Okay, everybody, welcome to another episode of Single Mommy Fabulous, the podcast. Today, we're talking resolutions, and we need a resolution. And so Adrian and I are really excited about this topic because neither of us really believe in resolutions. But because we don't believe in resolutions, we thought, hey, why don't we do a whole episode on the history of resolutions and superstitions and talk about why we never do them anyway. You know, so we'll get into it. I can't wait because it seems like fun. But first, we're going to talk history, which, yes, is my favorite thing in the whole wide world. I have to admit that I'm a bit of a history buff. So, but this was fun because I didn't know any of it. So apparently, the first people that may have made resolutions were the ancient Egyptians, although they are not credited for coming up with New Year's resolutions. It may be because the celebration of their New Year, as they didn't really have a calendar or that, but they had a celebration called Wet Pet Rinpet, and I'm sure I said that hella wrong because I have no idea how to pronounce it. Yeah, but it coincided with the flooding of the Nile River. And it was an annual flood that happened midsummer. So that's a bit off of the Gregorian calendar that we use now. They celebrated for a while the fact that the flood had come, which meant that their farmland would be fertile. And a lot of New Year's superstition and resolutions has to do with fertility and newness and renewal. So, that's really exciting. I think the Egyptians were fascinating people. Maybe one day we'll just do a whole episode on Egyptians because I watched the most fascinating episode of, or was an episode, a documentary on Egypt. But anyway, I'm getting off track. I love Egypt. Okay.
Was it the one when they discovered that tomb and they were trying to-
Yes.
Oh my God, that was so good. Okay.
Wasn't it good? I can't even remember what his name was, but he was like, he had to have his name on everything in the whole, I can't remember the name. We'll have to look it up.
It was like Waite or something like that.
I don't remember.
Anyway.
But guess who was credited with being the first to make resolutions? Oh. That's right. The ancient Babylonians. Woohoo!
Those guys, huh?
Those guys, and when I think of Babylonians, I think of the Tower of Babel. So I got real thrown off researching this. but they had a 12-day party in March, they think, called Akitu. And I'm sure that's wrong as well. But this was a religious festival and where the Babylonians crowned a new king or proclaimed their loyalty to the existing king. The citizens would swear to pay off their debts and promise to return borrowed goods. So, I mean, this is almost exactly to what we do today when we say we're going to pay our bills on New Year's Eve and we're going to get debt free. And so, it's very interesting to think that someone 4,000 years ago was doing the same thing you're doing every January 1st. And then we have the ancient Romans. And the ancient Romans, Julius Caesar started this. So Julius Caesar had the Roman calendar, and he actually did start the leap year, which is very interesting. But anyway, what the ancient Romans were doing was actually making offerings to the god Janus, who was thought to be a two-faced god who had one face that looked towards the past and one that looked towards the new year and was a watchful eye as Romans moved forward and fulfilled their new year's promises. That completely makes sense. But why anybody? Like, this reminds me of Auld Lang Syne or whatever that song is we sing. All of this is it's very interesting, our tie to our history and to our past that we don't really think about or know.
Yeah, and it's a trip because it's like you think, every generation thinks that they're doing something new and fascinating, right? And
yeah.
It's like, when you look at this and you look at the history of, and now don't get me wrong, every generation, something new and fascinating does happen, right? Yes. But I'm just saying, you know, like day to day, whatever. Then when you look at this and like where resolutions come from, you're just like, oh my God, we really are creatures of habit. Like we do the same
thing. Expecting new results.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting that is.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. And one thing that I wanted to look up because, you know, the Romans copied a lot from Greece and Egypt as far as the gods that they worship or whatever. And I didn't have a chance, but I wanted to look to see if there was a similar sort of deity from those two camps that was similar to Janus.
Yeah, I'm sure that there was. I mean, I can't.
No, okay. It looks like Janus is solo bolo.
Oh, Janus is all by himself.
They actually made something on their own. Whoa.
Don't you wonder where they came up with the idea for gods? I mean, that's got to be something else. We'll have to, we'll have our history nerd out one day. We really will.
Okay, carry on.
Carrying on now that we know that Janus is a solo bolo kind of guy. Okay.
For now.
For now. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun. So now we're going to move into, so we're going to go back about 300 years, which is actually modern times when there was an English clergyman named John Wesley, who was the founder of Methodism. And he created the Covenant Renewal Service. And this is most commonly held on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. And so it's also known as the Watch Night Services. And I've been to a couple of those. Yeah. And so these services are where they read scriptures and you sing. And it's a spiritual renewal rather than a rancorous, let's go out, get drunk and party kind of celebration, where the Christians would come and they would pray and they would ask for forgiveness and make resolutions to be better people in the coming year. I know Adrian and I are both Protestant and we have both probably been to Watch Night services quite a few times. That was something my mother dragged me to a lot when I was younger. Yeah. But it's not a bad thing. I mean, you know, I think that as I've gotten older, I appreciate them more than I did as a younger kid, because, you know, now it's more of a, yeah, I got a bunch of repenting to do. Now, just more of a, you know, renewal of my spirit and my commitment. So I do enjoy them a lot more now. So I guess that's what I carried with me from all these traditions is Watch Night Service.
Yeah, and Watch Night Service, you know, I've been to several different kinds.
Yes.
And some of them are actually really fun.
Yeah.
And some of them are like...
Snooze fest. Don't lie.
Snooze fest. There's some... I went to one. I felt like when I came out of there, I felt like I am the most horrible sinner alive. I really need to get my life together. And then it's really not that bad, but it's just like,
yeah.
I just felt like just the way that it went, it just felt like, oh, I'm such a wretch.
Yeah, like there's this one where you're like told you're wicked, and there are people who do that, like on New Year's Eve, instead of it being about forgiveness and renewal and such, it's about telling you how awful you are and all the bad things you've done this year, instead of helping you become a focus on bettering yourself.
Yes.
And those services I do not enjoy. That was my grandfather's funeral. I left in the middle of it because I was like, you know what, you're not going to tell me I'm terrible for the next hour and a half. I'm good. I'm out. So you know, so these are the traditions. We'd love to hear about anybody who's ever been to a Watch Night service and whether it was good or bad. So, you know, leave us some comments. We want to hear about it. We were going to just talk a little bit about New Year's traditions. And these have nothing to do with resolutions, but it's kind of fun to talk about, because I know in my family, we used to have, when my grandfather was alive, we'd have chitlins and black eyed peas and greens.
Gotta have black eyed peas and greens.
Yeah. I'm not with the chitlins part. I'm like, yeah. But I did read that that was really part of the Southern tradition for good luck and good fortune going forward. And I'm like, you know what? Hog jowls, chitlins, anything. No, I'm sorry. Bacon. That's all I'm doing. Bacon. Bacon in my greens. Okay. I'm good. So.
Yeah. Chitlins can stay wherever they are.
Right. You know,
definitely black eyed peas.
Yeah.
That's a huge tradition.
Oh yeah.
In the black community.
Yeah.
Simple good fortune and wealth.
Yes.
And you have to eat them.
Yes.
At midnight.
Yes. My daughter is going to hate me this year because I may actually make her do it, because what else do we have to do?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I've made them. I don't like black pie.
What? Oh my God. What?
But I have made them and like eaten a bite and then just.
Oh my God. Pearl, how can you not like, okay.
I don't like, but you know what? I'm going to try them again this year, because.
Just mix them in your collard greens and then you won't really taste them, because they're very, to me, they're the most protein heavy tasting of all of them, especially if you cook them with like ham hocks or something, then they taste much better. And get yourself, make some cornbread, and then all bets are off. You just crumble the cornbread on top of all of it. I don't, you know what? I eat like my grandfather on New Year's Eve. Everything goes on the plate on top of each other and I mix it up and then I eat it. That's how it goes. It's like, that's the thing to do. Okay.
So. Never. I don't like my food as such.
I know, me either. But for some reason, that combination is amazing. And it, you know what? Sometimes I even break out the hot sauce. He would break out hot sauce, jalapenos that he grew. I mean, it was some good. I mean, and in honor.
No, I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna try it this year, because you know, have changed significantly since Kalia has been born, and I eat so many more things that I never would have eaten before.
Yeah.
So I am going to try it this year, and we're going to have it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fun.
It'll be fun. I'm telling you, just mix. If you don't have to mix everything, but the greens and the black eyed peas actually have a nice harmony. They really do.
Yeah, I can mix those together.
That's yeah, they okay. have
that. Wet and wet go together.
Yeah, yeah. Wet. I love it. I am so like you too, but
it's just the wet and the dry. Those right. can't go together.
Okay? I get that. Okay. Well, I get that. I don't know why I like I like my cornbread on top of it, because it kind of makes it mushy, but it's okay. It's something.
Well, cornbread is kind of an anomaly, because it's not really like bread, and it's not really.
It's just,
and it's so dense. Like, if you get it wet, it's not that big of a deal. I still think it's gross, but
yeah,
I could see cornbread, but anything else? Bleh. No, thank you.
So, oh God, I love Adrian. She's so funny.
Made fun of my whole life, because I'm like, okay, oh my gosh. And especially Thanksgiving, I remember getting in trouble all the time because I would ask for another plate.
Olivia does that too. You're okay.
Yeah,
you're
like good. I want my turkey and my ham and my, if we had scalloped potatoes that year, I want those over here. And then I want the greens on another plate. You understand? Because green juice doesn't belong in everything.
It does. Yeah, I agree.
Everything tastes like greens.
Well, so you would have liked my greens this year. There was barely any liquid in them and they were cooked. But I tend to not like the juice as well. My family ate them and didn't complain. So maybe we'll go with that.
I like the juice. Like, it's good. Like, sometimes if I save it, and then especially like if I'm feeling sick, I'll just drink it. You know what I mean? Like, it's good stuff in there. But I don't want it in the macaroni and cheese. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, God, no.
I don't want it in on my roll. Yeah. Like, I just, it needs to be separate. I don't understand how people can just pile everything on one. I'm getting anxiety. We need to
stop.
Move on.
It's okay. I can't have my food touching. Okay.
Breathe. Oh my God. This is too much.
You're killing.
Okay. Yeah, oh God. That was a lot. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I'm touched. So,
well, now everybody knows we have idiosyncrasies, and it's fine. And, you know, they also know if they want to come over on New Year's Eve or not. And I'm feeling like we're not going to have a whole bunch of people knocking at our door. So it's good.
Very true.
So the most popular superstition is what? What do you think it is?
Superstition.
Yeah. It's like superstition folklore. What do you think it is?
I don't know. I don't know any New Year's superstitions.
Yes. Oh my God.
Do I?
Kissing your beloved at the stroke of midnight.
I forgot about that. Well, you know.
Well, first of all, we should say this is Single Mommy Fabulous and we are single. Right. But, and honest to God, I think even when I was married, my husband was too drunk to ever kiss me at midnight. He'd be like, it'd be like 12:04 before he found me again. Right. Like, yeah, what else? You know, so that may be why we don't have husbands right now, because we didn't kiss at midnight, but that's fine.
I forgot about that. Okay, that's a good one.
That one, I was like, oh, yeah, I know all about that. Anyway, because I'm not getting no kisses this year. Oh yeah, yeah. My daughter's gonna be here. It'll be,
she counts.
She does count. Most beloved human in the world for me, so it's cool.
Exactly.
I never heard of this one. Beginning the new year with no unpaid debts, but that does tie into the history of New Year's, right? Not having empty cupboards at the turn of the new year will foretell a year of poverty. So if you have empty cupboards, you're gonna be poor.
I have heard of that one. My auntie had said that. She didn't like do anything about it, but she said that her mother, so my great auntie, she has passed on.
Mm-hmm.
She was 93 when she died. So she was born 1922.
Wow.
So her mother, she was telling us a story years ago that her mother had told them that to not have bare cupboards or you know,
no
food in the house at the turn of the year.
I think that makes sense. And they lived through the Great Depression.
Exactly.
So a lot of that had to do, I think, with that too, is like, you didn't have food, you were poor, you know, because my mother loves food and I'm just like, dude, what is the deal, man? But I mean, given the history of her life, it makes sense. And I'm sure that some of this will continue forever and ever.
Exactly.
The one that Adrian and I cannot agree on is whether or not we're going to open up all of our doors and windows at midnight to let the old year escape. While we want 2020 to go far, far away and be in the past, we're not sure that having everything open at midnight is the best idea.
Yeah, I just feel like it's not safe. And, you know, I am not trying to invite, you know, people. I mean, where I live, it's, you know, nobody comes back here. You know,
in
the apartment complex, way in the back, by a little forest. You know, nobody.
Oh, you got
it. you would be amazed. Like I still am blown away by how many trees there actually are here. Because, like, not trees that planted, but just trees that have been here since forever, and it's like all anyway. So. Back here,
yeah.
Forest, you know, nobody's coming back here. But even still, you don't know, because people are weird on New Year's Eve.
And they're drunk.
And they're drunk. And if everything is not shut down for New Year's Eve and people can move around, you don't know what people are going to do.
Well, you know, I think maybe I'll compromise and open my bedroom window and the door to my bedroom. And then the old year can leave my room. I don't know, you know, if it's going to get all the way out of my house, but maybe you could just leave my room. That'd be good enough. Maybe.
I mean, that could be good. I'm planning on saging our apartment, and I will crack the front door with my little, I have one of those little sticks you put under the door handle. So like you push the door open.
Yeah.
So, so I'll have my little stick jammed up underneath there with the door cracked and like, you know, shoo out the sage and the bad vibes for
get
like
bad juju out.
But yeah. I'm not gonna keep it open. Like that's insane. Who does that?
Oh my gosh. So let's see what else we've got. There is a Polish tradition that states that if you wake up early on New Year's Day, you will wake up early for the rest of the year. Who wants to wake up early? I am not a morning person. Ew, right. I'm not doing that one.
It's hard enough to do it with the alarm. Like, why would I?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I'm out.
I'm good.
And I think my favorite of this really weird stuff is not weird, but eating pickled herring at the stroke of midnight is German folklore.
Herring, that's a fish, right?
Yes. I'm sure I won't be doing that.
I'm trying to wrap my head around how that would taste.
I don't want to know.
But
they also eat in, you know, as in a Pennsylvania Dutch tradition, which is German also, they eat pork and sauerkraut, which I'm down with.
Yeah, I can do that all day. That's all good.
Yeah, pork and, you know, that's cool. But the hairy thing, I'm out.
I might have to try that one time.
Oh.
See what it tastes like. Because I pickle things, just not fish. So I'm wondering, like, would it have that same kind of, I don't know. That's interesting. That is interesting.
Yes. Now, let's get to something that I've never heard in my life. And I'm sitting here looking at this going, really? So, which I can't do anyway. So this is a tradition that will not be happening in my house anyway. So in order to there are certain things to prevent having bad luck in the year ahead. So there are things you shouldn't eat, which are lobster and chicken. Okay. So you shouldn't eat a lobster because eating them before the stroke of midnight may cause setbacks because lobsters can move backwards.
Oh my God.
So all of you who are planning to go have lobster on New Year's Eve, maybe you should change your plans. No, I'm just kidding.
People think of. I'm right. You.
I'm this, like, where did this come from? But it's like fascinating.
Who had this idea?
I have no idea. They don't even credit whoever came up with this horrible idea, but I think it's awesome. Because what would life be without strange superstitions?
Very true.
Yeah. And so it's similar with chickens, as they can scratch backwards. They can. I've never seen a chicken scratch backwards, but okay.
What?
And how do you also
scratch backwards?
Like, I'm reading this and going, I don't get it, but okay. I'm going to go with what you said because I can't prove it.
I feel like, well, now I have to do like a whole bunch of chicken research.
We do have to, I mean, and well, this part makes sense. Not eating winged fowl because your good luck can fly away. I get that.
That's cute.
But the whole chicken scratching backwards, and whatever. I don't know
what that means. Like, how do you?
I don't know. And I, you know what?
Like my like a dog, right? And scratch like.
Well, so I don't, I mean, like, I just.
I don't know.
I just hung out with chickens like a couple months ago. Well, no, had to be last school year. God, I can't believe it's been like a year since I've done anything interesting. Wow, where did the year go? But we hung out with chickens at a farm, and I do not remember them walking backwards, so, or scratching backwards. Of course they can walk backwards.
If there's anyone out there who, you know, has experience with chickens, you have chickens, you work on a chicken farm,
let us
something.
Know. Yeah.
Help us, because we want to know.
We need more information on chickens.
We need to know this.
This is very important information, whether you know it or not. It is.
Right.
And honestly, if there is anyone who understands those actual superstitions, we'd love to know more about it. Like, where did it come from? Is this something you've heard from your family, or these traditions at your household? What are your traditions? That, I think that'd be great. I would love some feedback on that.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Okay. I was about to break into Salt and Pepper and then thought, that's a little inappropriate, sweetheart. Cut that out.
Salt and Pepper is never inappropriate.
So as we were like talking about resolutions and we were coming up with this final topic of 2020, we're going to pause to cry for a second. But
or rejoice that it's almost over.
I think maybe I should be rejoicing. I'm just crying because I'm going to, you know, as Adrian said, and, you know, I'm going to miss taping. Taping's fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great opportunity for her and I to get together every 2 weeks to chat and catch up on our lives and also to come up with crazy things to talk about. So, you know.
Tear.
Yes. We're looking forward to 2021 when we will find even more ridiculous things to talk about. And, you know, it'll be a lot of fun. We were talking about why we don't make them. Why we don't see the point of making a resolution. And when I think about resolutions, there is such a negative connotation for me. And it may be because every article that I looked at, or even throughout my life, every time they talk about resolutions, they talk about how much people fail at them. The success rate, it's not as horrible as I think it is, but it's never, you know, nobody encourages you to make resolutions. In fact, I feel like they're trying to discourage us from making resolutions with all of these articles. But I don't. I stopped making resolutions 3 years ago. I even wrote a blog post about how I was done with resolutions. And mostly because I made the big kind, you know, my resolution would be lose 15 pounds. Never happened. Yeah. My resolution would be stop smoking. Didn't happen until I got pregnant. My resolution would be have $5,000 saved. Doesn't happen.
Yes.
And it may be because they're grand plans without plans. They're not goal setting. They're just words that come out of your mouth.
Yes.
And so I stopped that. And have realized that I need to make goals. It doesn't need to be a resolution. If I want to save $5,000, yes, I can tell myself I want to save $5,000, but I have to know how I'm going to save it. And what are the steps that I need to do to get there? And if I want to lose 15 pounds, which now is more like 150,000 pounds. Negative space. So when I go to space, I'll be light. I heard that, oh no, gravity is what pulls you down. I don't know. Anyway, but you know, I just wanted to be really light and fluffy when we finally go to the space station to live.
Right.
I don't know, Adrian, how do you feel about them? Because that's how I feel. I'm not sure how you feel about them.
I think that they can be useful. Like you said, if there's a plan behind the resolution, or if it's just simple enough that it's like, even if you don't do it, you won't feel like an epic failure.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I stopped making them, was because I finally got to a point where I was honest with myself enough to be like, you know what, dude, like your follow through is trash. And you say this, you know you're not going to do it. Like you'll attempt,
right?
And then you won't finish. Yeah. And that's just my MO. And I could make that a resolution, like, yeah, you know, be better about my follow through. But okay, but what does that actually mean? What does that look like? You know, so I'm not just going to throw stuff out there just to hear myself talk, you know? So I just don't. But like I was telling you the other day, you know, the lady in my meditation group, I'm not going to say her name because I didn't ask for her permission ahead of time, but her resolutions are super simple and achievable. That's the thing. It's actually doable, you know, setting resolutions, you know, based on your set, like what you know about yourself, like, is it doable? But hers are totally doable. It was, and it's the same every year. She does the same thing every year. And it's three resolutions. Number one, read 15 books. Number two, learn how to cook a meal, but not just like cook it, like know it and like master it, right? Mm-hmm. And then what was the third one? Learn three new skills.
Yeah.
So that could be whatever, you know, like that's so doable. And so like, and then you're learning and you're growing as a person. Like that's what a resolution should be.
Right.
You know, something that propels you to your next level, right. You know, not just, I mean, and if losing weight is that thing for you, then awesome. You know, but it's like that, you know, let's, if we're going to make resolutions, let's take more than a minute.
Right.
And think about it.
And don't do it when you've been drinking.
Don't do that.
Because guess what? You probably won't remember it the next day or the next day or the next day or the next day.
Exactly. But plan it out. Think it through. Form a plan.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? Or don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's no rule that says you have to make a New Year's resolution. Like,
yeah, I think what Adrian said is key. And what I believe is key is that we can make resolutions. There's nothing wrong with a resolution. I mean, 4,000 years worth of human history is to resolve to do something different when the, you know, at certain times of the year for whatever reason. But I think that what it needs to be is a goal that's achievable that you can see through. Because one of the things is you never want to get to where we got, where it's like, no resolution. I'm done with that. That's stupid. It needs to be something that like reinvigorates you, because the new year is always full of hope and promise. Okay, this year doesn't look like that. But anyway, always full of hope and promise. And so, you know, if we make these smaller goals and we build upon small goals, then we will have a more successful, more fulfilling, more joyful, which is our thing for this, you know, this time of year. We're going to live joyfully.
Right. So
we're going to live joyfully, and that includes in our New Year's resolutions. So this year, when I figure out what my tiny little goals will be for 2021, aside from things that have to do with this podcast, because you'll get to see all of those in 2021. Well, me and Adrian will tell you, she and I, we're going to make a promise to each other tonight, because I just decided that we are, that we're okay. going to make two, not too many, because we don't really like resolutions. So we're going to sit down for the next 3 weeks before it's New Year's, and we're going to make two small resolutions, which we are going to call goals for 2021. And then we're going to post them for you on New Year's Day so that you know what we think we're going to do. And we're going to do it because we got to prove that we need to be able to set goals.
Right. We can do it. We can do it.
Right.
We're going to do something.
Okay. We are. We're going to do something. And I'm like, I'm truly, truly excited about 2021. I know that all of us out there have had a rough year. And yeah. it you know what? It's just the nature of the beast this year. I mean, there is so much going on that we've all been through something emotionally, physically, all sorts of things, all sorts of negative has been 2020. And so we're going to go into 2021 joyfully, and we're going to put our best foot forward, and we're not getting up early. So don't ask.
Nope.
No, I roll, you know, I'm gonna roll out of my bed now that I'm working from home most of the time at 7:35 to make it down my stairs and to my computer in my jammies.
That's what I do.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna lie to you folks. I'm not getting dressed every day for work. Today I did not even put on a bra. I did not care. I was like, nobody's gonna see me. Who cares?
You know, exactly. And I always have my camera angled so you can only see like from the shoulders up.
Let me just tell you, I love my job because we do not have meetings. I have not had one meeting in 6 months. Not one.
Awesome.
Is that awesome?
I love it.
It's the best. So that may be part of my resolution. Always get jobs where they don't believe in meetings. Hallelujah. Praise you, because I just don't like them.
Amen. Amen.
Incredible time wasters in my brain. So, but this has been an absolute pleasure. We have enjoyed our last, I believe this is our 15th produced episode. I know that some of them have been stories, but I think we're at either
right.
14 or 15. And so we're really excited. I'm glad that Adrian made me fulfill my resolution of last year, which was to make this podcast.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! And, you know, we'll see you guys again in 2020. We wish you Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, you know, yeah. Happy Hanukkah. Whatever you Diwali passed, but
it passed already. Okay, sorry.
It's okay. Whatever you're celebrating, however you choose to celebrate this time of year, we just want you to have a healthy, happy time and look forward to living joyfully in 2021.
Please.
Yes. And so this is Single Mommy Fabulous signing off for 2020. Until next time, stay fabulous.
Stay fabulous.